It's the Red Dirt Paranormal Podcast with your hosts, Red Dirt Paranormal.
Oh my God!
Jax.
Kesha, I think she boned something that goes hump in the night.
And 3D.
The whole house would be like a Rube Goldberg machine of ass kicking.
Featuring a special guest, David Omen of the Omen House.
Wait, Astro and Scooby-Doo sound awfully alike.
Fire up your K2s and let's do this.
But I'm all about and this is why we do it. You know, my family is some of the bunch that's like, you know, how come you don't charge? Why do you do it for free? Because I want to educate people. I want to learn as much as I can to know why these things happen, why they're able to stay here. Why aren't they going across to the pearly gates, if you believe that? You know, why aren't you walking the streets of gold and all that stuff? Why would you choose to stay here in this location, as opposed to going to that, however you envision your heaven? You know, that's, I want to know that stuff.
Yeah.
But I think also in turn, like your house there, to them, to the ones that you have there, maybe that is their heaven.
Well, for whatever reason it is a good place for them to regenerate or juice their charged batteries, or charge their batteries, is what Lisa Williams said. So like I, as we said originally, there's just a lot, as I say, there's 1,000 different spirits that are here. And somebody said, oh, I'm afraid that somebody's going to come home with me. It's like, you already have spirits that are following you as it is. Everybody does, has a cadre of spirits around them, so to speak, I think. So that whoever's there that's related to you comes with you and goes with you till you pass away. They're there. That's their place, so to speak. Guardian angel, whatever. That's what they do. I said, so nobody's going to, this isn't Disneyland and you're not going from a haunted mansion ride. And you have to beware of hitchhiking ghosts. Beware hitchhiking ghosts. They might ride home with you. No, that just doesn't happen. It's another misconception. And here, back to what I was saying about how do you look, you know, you're dying moment, is that how you're condemned to come back? If that's the case, I really, really, really feel sorry for the poor bastard who died a few months ago at the food at the tuna processing plant down in San Diego.
Oh my God!
Oh, no.
You're sitting there at a ghost hunt, and all of a sudden you see on top of a table 150 stacks of Starkist, and you go, "Wait a second, dude, look at that!" It goes, looks like. Like a stack of 150 cans of Starkist tuna.
Oh,
my God.
that's probably the guy.
No way.
Can you imagine like the cans of tuna when you open it, you pop the top.
I don't know why the first thing off my head was Steve Martin. Stay away from the cans. It's the cans.
Poor Pascal Sue, an industrial wood chipper. He comes out as a pile as he goes, like a 6-foot platter with a pile of gosh on human bit, cheap bit, was it chipped beef? And you see that and you go, oh my God, dude, where am I? Las Vegas, the ghost of Las Vegas past? Because what is that? So it's like, looks like a buffet in Las Vegas. So look at that, because it's chipped beef. Oh my God, it's mumbling, it's bumbling.
There's so many reasons why I'm vegetarian.
It's Chip.
Yeah.
Hey, Chip, what are you doing? I just come on.
This is definitely one of the reasons I went veg a long time ago.
Well, and that's one of the things, you know, we say a lot of times the word theory comes out of our mouths on our show because everything is a theory. Nobody's going to know until we die. When we die, we'll know.
And dead men tell no tales.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what I said here a few shows ago, you know, and there might be something that's a rule that you can't talk about it when you go back, you know. It might be some CIA bullshit.
Fight Club. We don't talk about Fight Club.
They tell no tales, but they do tell jokes.
That's apparently. Right.
Yeah, you know, there's some leeway, I guess, that this place, like, this is off limits. You can't pass the secrets on to those living.
Yeah. Here's
they'll get there as an eventual time, you know.
What we need is a spectral whistleblower. Is somebody that's just like,
that's right.
You know what? Quick, somebody kill Chelsea. I'm just
So Does anyone ever come just to see and experience instead of document?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for the past 3 years since the Ghost Adventures show aired 3 years ago, I was doing a couple of paranormal, well, the first year I was doing, I think I did 10 paranormal investigative tours here. You know, people, just lay people want to come and experience and see what it's like. And they say, I'm going to look for Sharon Tate. It's like, why would Sharon Tate's spirit come across the multitudes and planes of existence to visit you?
Right.
You're her biggest fan. Whoop-de-doo. There's no connection. I said, right. But there's more likelihood that one of your relatives or one of your friends who's passed away would come back and visit you. And that's what's happened. People have come here and stuff's happened. They go, oh my God, I heard the, you know, we've recorded, I think it was 2 years ago during one seance, we recorded this girl's father's voice. And I remember we had three recorders on the seance table. And I said, stop the seance. I said, in the middle of the seance, I said, stop. I said, I heard a voice. I said, play back the recorders. I don't want to wait till later on to have to then listen through hours and hours of recording to find the spot. And they're all the mediums were getting pissed at me. I said, what are you going to do? I said, it's my house. Do it. Let's just listen. So we listened. And in all three recorders, you can hear the voice of this man saying, let it go, mija. And this girl who was at the table broke down and started crying. She goes, that's my father. Turns out he died of cancer 4 years earlier, and she wasn't able to go on with her life. And he came through loud and clear and said, let it go, mija. And afterwards, she said, I can now go on with my life. I now understand that I'm not sitting, I mourned far long enough. And I have his blessing. And I was like, wow. Everybody wants to search for as far away as they can get. And what they get is right next to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't ever know.
I wonder because it's like a conduit for the spirit world. Maybe my uncle would come visit there.
A lot of people have come through and visit. That's why I said it's their decision when they walk through the, you know, the front door, the threshold. And we've taken the telephone communications device that they use when they put in telephone lines. It's two different pieces. One piece is the receiver as the amplifier, and the other one is just a battery and a couple of electrodes clamps that they attach to the wires. And basically the telephone repairman was here and he pressed a button by accident and he heard a discharge out of the amplifier. And he goes, that's not possible. I said, what do you mean? He goes, this is an amplifier. It has a little antenna here. And it says it has like a 3-inch range. We use that to isolate which telephone line it is that we're trying to figure between a cluster of telephone lines. And it's like, oh, he goes and he turns it on. He presses the button. He says, listen, goes, it should be dead quiet in this house. And he goes, he walks outside the door and it's quiet. He walks in the door and I said, what's that? Goes, that's energy in the air. And he puts his hand over it like here's the probe. He goes like this and it stops. It was like this and it's on. So it literally only has like a range of around 1 to 3 inches from the probe. And I ended up buying one and I've taken it through the house and it's strange because different heights in the room, you have a higher and a stronger sound, which is more energy. And in other parts of the house, it's quiet as a mouse. And it's like, and it's not constant. It's always flowing and moving through the entire house. As Barry Taft said, it's constantly shifting its location all the time.
Mm-hmm. We were discussing the basis of energy being like the life force. So when you do expire, then you might just, you know, your energy goes somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what could be like, you know, an apparition or a ghost or just, you know, an echo, depending on, you know, your staying ability, staying power.
Well, you know, we have a place here in Tulsa. What was it, the center of the universe or something like that?
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I have never been there, but
it's the center of the universe.
Yeah, that's what it says. Isn't it the center of the universe or something like that? Or the center,
are you serious?
I'm so serious. You can look it up. It's in Tulsa.
Yep.
And supposedly, why we've never been there, I have no idea. But I never have. But wait, supposedly, what? You can go stand in the center of it, and if you scream, those that are outside of the circle can't hear you. Yeah, it's...
Jax, I sent you a video of the center of the universe.
Okay. I might have to check that in a
is
bit.
Is that history back to the Native Americans or what?
I don't know. I've always tried to figure out, you know, thinking about that. How the hell do they know it's the center of the universe?
No, because... No, it was, you don't. No.
It was actually a... Let me get a video link for you. It's actually just like an art installation in the middle of a pedestrian bridge. I don't know why they named it that, but that's just what it came to be named. So let me get myself in here.
Here it is. Guy discovers the center of the universe in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yeah. On YouTube. What the son of a gun? Yeah, it is an art installation, apparently. You're right. Because I see it from the video I'm looking at. It looks like it's tiles all pinned around in a circle.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are about knee-high planters.
We have to link this on the Patreon.
It's an acoustic dead zone.
That's exactly what it is. Yep, that's what the climate is.
It's like an acoustic circle.
Right. I've
never been there. I've had a lot of people ask me about it, and I feel like an idiot because it's like, I don't know. It's 30 miles from the house, but I don't know.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's I can't tell you. It's, right, it has acoustic properties, obviously, that have dead zone.
But, you know, it's just like there's a place in Montana. I used to work for a ranch up in Montana. And there was a place, and I can't think what the name of the town is. There's a house, and it is literally on a slant, and you can lay a ball down, and the ball will roll up to the top of the house. What is the name of the town? I can't think what the name of the town is. It's in Montana. And it's absolutely fascinating. It's just something to do with where it's at. But I think that goes back to the same thing, you know, when you start talking about vortexes or portals or anything like that, you know, it's something to do with the location, the way the land is, the elevation, the everything combined. Of course, it's not anything that anybody really understands unless you think everything is Star Trek. But, you know, it's. I think they're fascinating. I've come across them before, and they move. They're not ever in the same place. They're in the same radius, the same location, but they're not ever in the same exact location. Like, it might be at the bottom of the stairs over here, and then the next time you get it, it's in the kitchen.
Right.
It's moving, constantly moving, exactly. And it's never, it's the strange stuff that happens here is never, at a set date, a set time. People said, is it affected by the full moon? It's like, no, none of the above. It's random. Same with the figurines. When the figurines get knocked over, sometimes they're up for a week and molested, and then all of a sudden it's like bam, 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 bam. Right. It's like, okay. And I pay attention to it, and I notice the fact that things are not, as you say, as active as they are some other times. But, you know, it is what it is. There's no set schedule as people wish there was. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
Well, it's like there is a – let me see if I can pull it. No. All right. I was reading this the other day on vortex theories. It's a mechanical explanation of gravitation involving atoms. It's the history of the knot theory.
The History of the Knot Theory?
Knot. K-N-O-T.
I thought like N-O-T, and maybe it's not a theory, and I got a little, you know.
K-N-O-T. But, you know, it's like, I think, personally, I think vortexes, I think it has a lot to do with the gravitational pull of the moon, everything involved in it's like when you put two magnets and you try to put two magnets together.
Right.
I think that causes a vortex because all the energy is swarming in between, pushing those two magnets back apart from each other. And I think in my head, my theory is if you have two magnets that are big enough, in this case, maybe possibly Earth and Moon, it somehow creates some type of a vortex or an opening, you know, like, you know, we even talked the other day, you know, an opening to another dimension, you know, whether that dimension is actually just time travel type thing, you know, just throws you in another place.
This is going to put me on a kind of weird path for a second, but I was actually recently, I've been reading a lot of Dark Tower series by Stephen King, and honestly, it makes me think of the timelines between the book, because I wonder if the world in the different dimension is actually way in the future, and like after the world has ended. And you gotta think, like, sometimes that might be the case. The multiverse or multi-dimensions could just be a way different timeline, like way past, way future, or a repetitiveness of events as well, because things do tend to repeat, don't they?
Yeah.
Given enough time.
Yeah. Sure. You know, it's like Albert Einstein said, you know, concerning the atomic bomb, it's not the ones that have it that are dangerous. It's the ones that know they have it and don't do anything about it that are dangerous. Yeah. But just like at David's house, though, you know, the fact that it's in an environment. Well, first off, it's a lucky situation because it's somebody that actually accepts what is happening there.
Yes.
that's the good thing. And it's not being exploited as to, oh, well, let's, I mean, I know there's the ghost tours, I guess you'd say the investigation, but that's not really
exploited.
That's a deal where it's like, you don't believe that this stuff is real. Well, let me prove to you that this stuff is real.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a scientific thing. It's like we were talking the other day. It's hard for me to imagine that me playing football and ranching and riding and roping all my life and rodeoing is now considered a scientific researcher. Are you kidding me? My teachers in high school would be scratching their head going, this is no way possible. I mean, janitor, yes. Scientific researcher, no. But, you know, that's the thing, though. And that was something else that I was thinking about when it comes to the vortex and the magnet theory. If you have two magnets big enough and you move them in fast as you possibly can, who's to say what's going to happen?
Physical, I mean, who's law?
What is that called? A split? A split? What do they always say? A split in the timeline thing? You know, what if that is the actual vortex?
Maybe. I don't know.
It's a possibility.
Interesting. How come somebody hasn't tried to design something like that?
You know, I don't know.
Bigger than magnets, the force. Wow. I mean, we've all tried to take large magnets and push them together, and they bounce, they push off so much force. I mean, and you're saying in the in-between spot between the two magnets, there's that space.
And it's either going to expand. I mean, eventually it's going to cause so much friction that it's going to grab something and pull. And that's my whole thinking.
Experiments in the works, gentlemen.
I don't think that all of us combined would have enough money to put in to do that experiment. But you know, but who's to say that that's not being done, so to speak, in kind of a way from the other side that enables them to be able to do that?
Do you think they have magnets on the other side, though?
Well, I'm talking about like the Big Bang, you know, the Big Bang theory. But what if it's like I know you have tornadoes in Georgia. I don't know about California, but we have a bunch of them here. And it's like when you have a tornado, the effect on a piece of straw, it'll take a piece of a straw out of a hay bale, and it changes the molecular body of that in such a way that it will put that piece of straw through a tire. And when you break the straw off, all the air comes out of the tire.
Hmm.
So that in itself, that type of force, I mean, anything's possible.
Yeah.
So when you really start thinking about it, I mean, you got to really stop and really think deep about that. But if you get something like that, you know, it's just like getting two pieces of metal. If you rub those pieces of metal, they're just two pieces of metal. But by the time it's over and done with, eventually it's going to weld itself together. And that those two pieces of metal are going to become one piece. It's true.
But that's, you know, interesting.
That's for another show.
Yeah, that's maybe a science show.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure it has anything to do with spirits or the paranormal, it is interesting.
We're talking about the vortex, so yeah, and the way that enables all of his guests to make their presence known to him there.
Do you think it's a like a vortex or like a portal or maybe like a conduit?
I think it's more of a portal. Like Barry Taft called the place. He goes, he nicknamed us the Mount Everest of haunted houses and the Disneyland for the dead. As he said, when you come in the door, I came up with the analogy. I said, so it's kind of like taking a reptile or a lizard from a very, very cold environment, around 50 degrees, where it's very sluggish and inactive, and then introducing to an environment where it's 80, 85 degrees, sunny and warm, and they become very hyperactive. He goes, exactly. Right.
And, you know, when you start talking about that, the vortex, whether it's, the portal, I think that would be a deal where the vortex may actually be a portal, but all of us may be the conduit. All of our activities with what we do and not necessarily the investigating part, but being around that, being that living energy, be the conduit to maybe pull them through or give them what they need to come through.
Well,
Do you catch things when you're not there, though, when no one's there? Do things happen? Because that would be like a tree falls in the woods, does anyone hear it type of situation.
Yes, I think that there are resident spirits that are here, like unseen house guests, as I said, that are staying here. And then, of course, when people come in, the spirits that are around everybody that walks the earth, so to speak, they hit this environment, the spirits can jump off and start to manifest and do stuff. And here's a famous story. I had a friend of mine from, where the hell is he from? He's from Kansas City. He drove out here 2 weeks after his brother had committed suicide a couple years ago. And Kenny was here hanging out for 3 days and three nights. And he stayed in the third level guest bedroom, the infamous one where Nick had his incident. And every day I'd say to him, you know, morning, I'd say, hey, how was your sleep? Did anything happen? Did your brother pop up? Nope. Last night he's here. It's midnight. I go downstairs to take care of feeding my cats. I'm there downstairs in the room, bedroom right below, maybe about a minute or two. And all of a sudden, I hear the sound of a big piece of furniture being dragged across the floor, short distance. And then I heard it, something like slide across the floor, then an impact, and then a bang. And I come running up the staircase, and I look to my right, and there, right next to the window, which is wide open, is the sofa chair, and it's flipped over. And I look on the balcony, and there's my friend Kenny, and he's sitting there smoking a cigarette, and he's shaking like a leaf on a tree. And I look at him, and I get upset, like, what the hell do you mean by making a mess of the house and flipping the furniture over? And I'm getting like, this is what's running through my mind, like, you had a meltdown or something? You had to flip the chair over? What? So look, I said, Kenny, I said, what the hell are you doing? And he goes, I didn't do anything. He calls. And I go, you didn't? He goes, I'm on the balcony smoking my cigarette, and you had gone downstairs. And I look up from looking out at the view of the city, and I turn and I look towards the living room, and I see the sofa chair. And the sofa chair is sitting, there are two sofa chairs, and they're both angled, let me see, they're both angled in at the rear, at the back side. So they're a little bit of an angle. It goes, the sofa chair on the left moves 6 inches straight, flush, you know, parallel to the to the balcony door, and then it slides back 3 feet, hits the railing, whatever it is, the track for the sliding glass door, and flips over. And I said, oh my God, that's exactly what I heard. I heard something, a short move, and then I heard this something drag across the floor, then I heard this kaboom, which is the sofa flipping over. And I said, oh my God. I said, you didn't? He goes, I didn't do a thing. And I was like, oh my God. I said, Sharon, Jay. And I said this out loud. I said, is it you that are responsible for that little action? And about a second later, he and I both heard a voice of somebody saying something. But he's too out of it and like muffled and miffed about what just took place. And I said to him, I said, I heard something. He goes, I heard something. And he's still freaked out. And I said, well, I heard a voice say, because I heard a voice, but I don't know what the hell they said. I said, well, I heard them say his brother. And I said, I don't have a brother, but you did. And he stops and he pauses for a second. He looks at me and he goes, you didn't know my brother. And I looked around and I said, no, I didn't know your brother at all. He goes, he was a practical joker. And I said, oh my God. I said, that's, just too perfect. And he goes, that's him. That's him letting me know that that he's okay. So that stinky, and he starts to laugh. He goes, that stinky no good son of a bitch. I said, just true to form. He's got me when I least expected. And there's 6 hours before I'm leaving. And he got me at the time when I'm going to be alone, not upstairs. But I'm not going to expect it. Maybe in the bedroom I'll expect something. But to do it up here, oh, did he get me good.
So I got to ask, how many times do you hear a random knock at your door and it's just somebody that found out where you live that wants to come see your house?
Not very. Not very much at all. I mean, people aren't that false. People are not, whoa, Jesus Christ.
Duct tape. I need Gorilla tape, damn it.
Honestly, not very. People are not that ballsy. They really are not. And thank God for that. I'd probably walk up there with a shotgun. Well, no. No. I mean, I've met a great many people when I've taken the dogs out and they're walking down the driveway or they're driving down the driveway and they're trained down. It says, "Oh, you're that David Omen guy." It's like, yeah, that's me. That's
David Omen guy.
Or, you know, I talk to people, you know, I'm not obviously I'm not, I don't find myself that unapproachable, right, so to speak. It's just, it's a question, what is their angle? What are they after? What do they want? That kind of thing. Well, it kind of perplexes me. It's like, okay, so what can I do? And a lot of people reach out to me. Well, I have this problem with ghosts. It's like, look, I've been on 6 paranormal reality shows. I don't lay claim to know anything about any theoretical science to it. I just know what's worked for me and what I've done. So I don't know if it's going to be much help to you, so to speak.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Red Dirt Paranormal Podcast. Visit our Facebook page, Red Dirt Paranormal of Oklahoma, on Twitter @RDP of Oklahoma, and online @RDPofOklahoma.com.